It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
And the junior bureau deputy from the Los Angeles office of Cut 4. I'm talking, of course, about Michael Clare. Hello, Mr. Clare.
Hello, I like that even though there's still only two of us out in LA, and I've been around longer, I've now been not only juniorized, but deputized to, I guess, the senior deputy.
Yeah, you're like third place of all the people in the LA office.
So rude.
And there's two of us!
Yeah, you finished third in a two-man race. Hey, guys, do you know that something crazy happened on Sunday and Monday?
What happened?
The Major League Baseball season started. 2017 baseball, it's here, it's starting right now. Well, it's already started, but it's happening right now. Literally while we're recording this podcast, there are people throwing baseballs and hitting baseballs and catching baseballs, and it matters and it counts, and it's so awesome. We made it through winter together. You, Gemma, Claire, me, you listening at home huddled in a blanket by the fireplace, we made it together, and baseball is back.
Now, you seem really excited for someone who, not so long ago, it is in audio recorded form, on this very podcast, in fact, who said not so long ago that spring training was better than the regular season.
Spring training is better than the regular
season.
That's
insane.
That's true.
No.
But the regular season is still great and is still worth celebrating. You go outside and it's warm. Here's what I want you to do.
You don't
open
like
your
it
window,
being warm.
Open your window. You're listening to this podcast, I imagine. You're lying in bed and you have the baseball on in front of you. Go to your window, throw it open, and shout, baseball is back. Unless you're in Colorado, in which it's snowing, in which you probably don't want to do that because you'll get snow into your apartment / house. Other than that, now is the time to celebrate. Claire, I want to hear how happy you are. I want to hear it in your voice.
Well, you know, it's actually funny that you say that, because before we started recording, like, I woke up this morning and I swear I'm not doing this because I'm on the podcast. I was like, I have this like warm, fuzzy feeling that kind of feels like when you've dated someone long enough that you're like, oh, this is good. And I'm not worried that they're not going to call me back today, where it's like, I'm just in a really good, happy place. Like, I had that feeling all this morning as I looked at how many split fingers Matt Shoemaker threw last night. It was 50, actually. He got 10 whiffs. 9 balls were in play. 8 were out. So he didn't have a great start. But Cy Young 2017, my prediction's still in the cards.
Yeah, that was a strange prediction. Gemma, how happy are you?
I'm very happy. Well, unlike you, I enjoy warm weather. And I'm actually likely
I enjoy warm weather. I prefer cold weather, but I enjoy warm weather.
See, I do not enjoy cold weather. I only like warm weather. And so I'm very excited. I'm very excited to sit on my balcony and listen to baseball games and drink lemonade, and it'll be very folksy and adorable.
It will be both folksy and adorable. Now, we have a lot to get to today. I don't know if you saw, but Jason Kipnis, who's starting the season on the DL, he still took part in opening day in a unique way. We'll also touch on Dancing with the Stars and our good friend David Ross, mm-hmm. who made his return to the program. And we'll finish up by talking about our second favorite teams this year, which Michael Clare is, in fact, an expert on. But before we get to all of that, we must take a trip back to Monday and Sunday and relive the glory that is the opening day of the Major League Baseball season. Claire, was there something that stuck out in your mind as like a favorite thing from the day?
So I mean, God, everything is perfect. I agree. Craig Counsell pizza plate. The introductions I always love, and this year we not only got a Bartolo like standing ovation, but Michael Conforto was skipped, but then, you know, they came back to him, so it was like, ah, ha, ha, we can laugh, but it's not that bad. Honestly, for me though, there were just some amazing fashions this year, and we've seen brand new socks in brand new styles. There is a huge comeback, and I don't know, there must be some company that's like brought them back and has gotten them into the hands of baseball players, because we are seeing flip-up shades at a level I don't think we've seen since the late 1990s, which now makes it possible that maybe I'll go buy Flip Up Shades. People won't go, why does that guy look so weird? We'd rather he just had light adaptive shades that nobody likes. They'll go, oh, what a cool baseball fan. I want to be friends with that guy. So, like,
is,
so far,
is that what's going to happen?
I don't think that anybody ever thinks, I wish that guy had light adaptive shades, A. B, I don't think that anyone is going to, you know what? I don't want to crush this for you, actually. I just want to you're going to make friends with your cool flip-up shades. Totally going to happen. It's real.
The most embarrassing story, or I have a lot, but one of them happened like a year or two ago before I was going to go down to spring training. And I was at like some doctor's office or something, and I was talking to the receptionist. I was like, I'm going to spring training. And she was like, for what? And for some reason, I thought she meant like, oh, you're playing a sport? Now, if you're confused, I'm a blogger with a blogger's body. So there's certainly no chance she thought I was an athlete in any shape, professional, amateur, like weekend warrior. No, I have a body for indoor sitting. So my answer, though,
indoor
was,
sitting.
Oh, I'm not playing. And she just kind of looks at me and is like, well, I'm too embarrassed to continue this conversation. And I replay that in my mind like every day.
That's odd. That is an odd story. Claire, if you aren't familiar, Claire is spherical like a globe. You can find out countries in him, as Shakespeare would say.
That's rude.
I just wanted to drop a good Shakespearean insult.
So
Gemma,
rude.
What was your favorite thing from opening day?
Well, you know, was it
the Shakespearean insults?
Well, so considering that today is not opening day, no. That does not even enter into my calculations about my favorite opening day moment. I mean, the whole day was really fun. It was really exciting. I was happy to see that baseball was back. I was happy to see Bryce Harper continuing his yearly tradition of hitting a home run on every opening day that he's been a part of. That was delightful. It was like a whirlwind. It really was just like, yeah. I can't even remember half the teams that won. I was just like, oh, highlight here, catch here, home run here, looking everywhere, four different games on my computer at once, because I did the quad split thing like in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to keep track of all of them, but I was also listening to the Brewers radio feed. It was all very, there was a lot going on.
I have discovered a love affair with the park sound option.
It's so good.
On MLB.tv.
It's so good.
I wish that it was, like, louder. Like, I wish that you could really hear, like, the PA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, I may have to spend the whole year just doing park sound. As much as I love it. As, you know, you heard my paean to Hawk Harrelson last week. As much as I love that, I think I may have to go park sound this year.
It's really nice. It's really relaxing.
It is.
Truly, it is.
There was a lot. There was also, I don't know if you saw this on opening night, but there was our first intentional walk of the year. RIP to the four-pitch intentional walk. It's gone. Yadier Molina was the very first baseball player, which I think is fitting,
sure.
The very first baseball player to experience the pitchless four-pitch intentional walk.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys going to miss it?
Well, I guess I'm not necessarily gonna miss it.
Yeah.
It's not like I just want to watch highlights of guys getting intentionally walked. Like,
I'm sure that the person on the podcast with you does want to watch
Well, here's the thing that sometimes, I guess what's great about four-pitch intentional walks is sometimes they don't go according to plan, and that's fun.
Yeah.
However, I think it's so rare that they are actually fun and interesting that doesn't really bother me too much. You know, my heart isn't broken, I'll put it that way.
Claire, what about you?
My dream, and this is one of like my hot intentional walk takes, is that there should be no such thing as an intentional walk. And if you are, if we're going to keep it as a rule, and I guess, you know, teams like the strategy. I don't know. Personally, it's just like in big situation, I want the guy to swing the bat.
I'm going to interrupt you because I need to know how you would make this illegal. Because it's how do you measure whether a walk was intentional or unintentional?
Well, so yeah, you could do the unintentional intentional walk, but if pitchers make mistakes when just trying to lob the ball away from the plate, they're going to make mistakes when they're just trying to like throw a slider a little farther off the plate. But if we're going to keep the intentional walk, and I think this is something, I think a lot of people would agree with me, I just want more shame to be brought into it. You know, hold up a sign that says, I'm a big baby. I know this player is better than, like, bring pride into it. This player is better than me, and he will beat me, and I'm afraid of that. If you made pitchers, like, say that and hold a sign up while, like, during the intentional walk and while they walk down to first base, they would say, like, I never, ever want to do that ever again. I am not a baby, and he is not better than me.
I agree. I still don't understand how you legislate this.
This,
like,
is
how do you?
So funny.
Is there like a, like, beyond the strike zone? Is there like a ball zone? And if you throw outside the ball zone, you have to hold this sign up?
Yes, there should definitely be something in any sport called the ball zone. One, two. I love the idea of being forced to wear a shame placard. That is amazing, and Claire needs to make this a reality. Because I do think that is what a lot of people dislike about the death of the four-pitch intentional walk, is more that, like, it's now become this element of strategy that's so accepted that you don't even really have to, like, put any risk into it. You can just sort of give this guy a base, and you don't even have to be like, now I have to pretend that I'm really throwing real pitches when in fact they're 3 feet to the left of the plate, you know, like, you don't have to do anything. And I think that people do want what Claire wants, which is the shame.
Well, and it also fixes, well, it doesn't fix, but, like, one of the things that people talk about is more action in the game and stuff like that. And the intentional walk, it's like, it's always a good hitter, or usually it's a good hitter.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you know, only Barry Bonds really gets the, like, just walk him every time, although David Ortiz got that in the 2013 World Series. But, I agree that shame is probably the strongest motivator.
Yeah, because this is still, because what it still really does is say, like, oh, pass, and just faster. Like, you still don't get to see that guy play, really. So
that's true.
It's still that same element of, like, meh.
I also want to, no, go ahead, Claire.
Well, I just wonder if this will change things, because you look, you know, and other than, like, the really big hitters, most players don't get, you know, other than, like, Bryce Harper, Miguel Cabrera, Barry Bonds kind of thing. Most even, like, really good hitters don't get intentionally walked that often just because they don't have open bases and it's just not the smart move. But if you look, like I think Ray Ordonez, who hit basically 200 for his career, was intentionally walked, like, I don't know, 15 or so times his rookie season, just batting in the 8-hole. I wonder if we'll see more intentional walks in front of pitchers because it's so easy, or fewer because it's like, I have no idea why you'd see fewer, but I just wonder if we'll see, like, any change in the way it's used because you don't actually have to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it'll change. I would love for it to change, but I don't think so. I also want to talk about this, which is Madison Bumgarner's 2 home runs in the first pitcher ever to hit 2 home runs on opening day.
You didn't go for speaking of people who should be intentionally walked? Power hitter? Madison Bumgarner?
It was a failure of a segue. You're right about that. I don't know. That's exciting. I mean, are we getting to the point where he's like a real hitter?
I mean, so I was in the office watching that game, and I was sitting next to a Giants fan. Shout out to Steph, who was wearing a Bumgarner jersey, and she was joking the first time he came up to the plate, and she's like, what if he hits a home run right now?
And then he did, and
then she did a lap around the room, and then he did it again, and she did a second lap. So, you know, exercise for all.
Mad Bum is really getting America off its feet.
Yeah, really, that was the point. No, I mean, I just think that, like, definitely I think that was a fun, jokey storyline for us over the past couple of years. Like, oh, Madison Bumgarner hits home runs, but now...
Not a joke.
Now it's real.
It's serious
it's a real
time.
Threat.
It's serious. Yeah. It's serious time with Madison Bumgarner. Claire, what did...
That would be the name of his show. It's not his kid's show. Wouldn't be like, fun time with Mad Bum. Serious time with Madison Bumgarner. This is how you butcher a cow. All right? No questions.
Here are
ever.
All of the skills that you would need to survive in the outdoors for 3 weeks. Claire, do you have any thoughts on Madison Bumgarner's 2 home run performance?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. If you look at, so he basically turned into this 4 years ago, and since then, his batting line, he has a 743 OPS, and he basically, still walking a little bit less, but he's basically Adam Jones, and we all think Adam Jones is a fan.
Well, hang on, slow down. No, he's not.
Last year, Adam Jones had a 746 OPS. Madison Bumgarner, over his last 259 plate appearances, 743. And by batting, like, two or three times once a week, I feel like he still gets that sort of, like, pinch hitter penalty where his, like, you know, if a pinch hitter comes up, they're expected to do some X percentage worse than they would if they were in the starting lineup. So I feel like there's still some of that attached to Bumgarner. So I'm just wondering if he was sort of like an Ohtani player where he got to DH 2 or 3 days a week when he wasn't pitching, if his numbers would be even better than this. But the fact of the matter is, last 259 plate appearances, 14 home runs. I mean, yeah, he strikes out a lot too because he seems to just be, you know, going for home runs. He doesn't draw walks. But that's super fun. He has a batting line that you could stick into an outfield right now and would be useful.
Well, again, I think there's some sample size issues. I think that it's different when you're not, like, doing it every day. Like, I think there's some, like when a rookie comes up and hits because the, you know, the book isn't out on him, right? That kind of stuff. Like, I do think that applies here.
We're year four now. And that was Zach Greinke at two home runs.
Yeah, no.
Well, one was against Greinke, the other was against Chafin.
I'm not
a great mustache, by the way.
I'm not here. I'm not here for hagiography. I'm here simply to enjoy the performance of Madison Bumgarner. But it's time to move on. I want to talk one more thing with opening day, which was defense, was on point. We had Byron Buxton, who gave MLB the very first StatCast measured 5-star catch of 2017. That was exciting. You had Jackie Bradley Jr., who caught a Francisco Cervelli line ball in the triangle at Fenway Park. It was only a 3-star catch, but I'm going to rep for it because it's Jackie Bradley Jr., and you know how I feel about my Red Sox. And obviously Manny Machado had that incredible throw from his back against the Blue Jays. And then you had in the same game Jose Bautista made a great running catch, which you don't normally think of him as a great defender, but he was in this one beautiful moment. Do you guys have a favorite defensive play?
There were so many good ones. I mean, the Byron Buxton one was just really satisfying, you know, because we've been thinking about Byron Buxton for a couple of years now, just being like, okay, it's Byron Buxton. It's got to be incredible. It's got to be fireworks. It's got to be amazing. But in fact, it's like all of the hype that was surrounding him for so long has sort of died down to a murmur. So I think it was pretty cool for the first 5-star StatCast catch to be this guy that we are all like really waiting on to show off like that. And now we just have new fancy ways to appreciate him, which is great.
It's true.
I love that Machado play, though.
That's my
favorite.
That was
so snappy.
I like that just because, first of all, I love any kind of a play from middle infield, corner infield. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my favorite defensive play. Like,
yes.
Diving catches are okay, but like anytime that you can combine a catch with an incredible throw, mm-hmm. I'm so totally there. Mm-hmm. And that throw was unbelievable. He like took a weird like nap after he threw it. I think he fell on his wrist and so he hurt himself, but like he threw the ball and then just kind of like splayed out on the ground, and I was like, you earned it, Manny.
Good, take a nap. I liked Charlie Blackman's catch. It was like a snow cone catch, barely like made it, probably not a home run, definitely extra base hit. He caught it, and that's how I feel like I would ever make a catch, is it wouldn't look that cool. It'd just be like, oh, I somehow ended up in the top of my glove and I don't really know how, but guess what, out. Like it just like that was amazing, just
Claire,
flopping around.
Claire, what about you? What's your favorite defensive play?
Oh man, there were just so many, and you know, I think for me, and I'm cheating a little bit, one was Gorkys Hernandez trying to rob a home run, missing, and then just sort of like sitting sadly at the wall. That was just like fun. Like if you just took a screen grab of him sitting, aww, his legs splayed out. He looks like a teddy bear that's been like neglected for years, the way like his legs were out and his head was down.
Why is that your favorite? That is sad.
That one, well, just because, I don't know, there was so much action. But my favorite, and the reason it's cheating is it also includes yesterday, is in the bottom of the ninth of the Rockies 7-5 victory over the Brewers. Nolan Arenado dove to his left, robbed Ryan Braun of a single to start the game-ending double play. Cut to the bottom of the first inning, the next game, he does the exact same thing. This one was actually hit harder. It looked like he had to dive a little bit farther to steal another hit from Braun. So that was two consecutive at-bats where Braun should have had singles that Nolan Arenado, with his, like, incredible, so silky, it's like a hair commercial, like a shampoo commercial defense. That's how silky Nolan Arenado's defense is, that in two consecutive at-bats he stole hits from...
How silky is it?
Like a shampoo commercial. Like the, oh, my hair is so voluminous. Voluminous? I can't talk.
I just wanted to hear you say it one more time.
Just so silky. And it's just, I don't, like, I just love seeing sort of like that. That's like an individual battle. You know, usually when you think of individual battles, you think of like pitcher versus batter. But it's like, no, Ryan Braun now has to keep hitting ball to the left side of the infield to now try and beat Arenado by getting a single.
Yeah, well, you know, okay. You know what? Here's the thing. We need to pace ourselves because there is a whole lot of baseball, and we can't go too crazy with opening day because if we go crazy, and then we'll be exhausted and unable to focus on the rest of the season. So I think we need to leave opening day behind, but just know that we are all quite excited about it. Here's the other thing that happened. I guess I'm cheating a little bit because this still happened on opening day, but Jason Kipnis, as we know, injured to start the season. Very sad. He's on the DL. Can't be with his beloved Cleveland Indians. Or can he? Gemma's making a face because she liked that. He was at the NCAA National Championship game between the Tar Heels and the Gonzaga Bulldogs. The Zags, do they call them the Zags?
Yes, they do call themselves that.
The Zags. Yeah. He was there. And it was glorious watching the state of North Carolina prove victorious. But on top of that,
nobody likes North Carolina.
Everybody likes North Carolina. But on top of that, what was great was Kipnis, in addition to watching the basketball game, was also watching the Indians on his phone on the At Bat app. It was wonderful.
It's weird that you just told that like a secret, like that, as though you were whispering it to someone in class, even though we are on a podcast.
I know. It was weird. But still, I think that's so cool. Have you guys ever done that? Have you ever been at a sporting event and watched a different sporting
that
event on your phone?
Great. No, I've never done that.
You've never done that? Claire, have you done that?
Not at a sporting event, but I've attended like musicals and been like, oh God. Well, I'll pull up At Bat, basically. And in college, you know, I'd be in class and we'd be discussing Jane Eyre, which is actually one of my favorite books, but it would be spring training and it's like you know, I gotta watch. Did I get caught? Did I get yelled at? Of course I did. Was it worth it? Yeah, probably. My parents might feel differently, but whatever. It was worth it.
Weird.
I'm glad that your parents heard about your college misbehavior from your professor.
Well, if they heard about
like
it,
you're
if
a
they
child.
Listened to this.
That was a weird story.
I've never done it at another sporting event. I mean, I understand that if I were a Major League Baseball player, like if I was Jason Kipnis and I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch my team play. Like when Stroh was
different.
At Duke,
that's
like finishing up his degree at Duke, and he watched David Price's first start with the Blue Jays from class. Like, I understand that. So if I was at another sporting event, though, I don't know.
If I was with him, I'd be offended because it's kind of like checking your work email while you're on a date. And it's like, well, no, I just want to see what's going on at work. Like, that's basically what he was doing.
Man, I'm so guilty of that.
Uh-oh. I don't have any comment.
I'm not ashamed though. That's how it goes. I care about baseball scores.
The other thing that's good to do with the At Bat app is to be at the ballpark and turn on the radio feed and listen to that while you're there.
That is cool.
That's
now
fun
that
to
is
do.
Great.
And every stadium has Wi-Fi, so it's easy to just hop on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, use I like that.
You probably need like a little battery thing.
Yeah.
But you plug that in.
You know, I saw that the Dodgers were giving one of those away. So if you are a Dodgers fan, go get one of those.
Definitely
go.
That's
package.
A solid giveaway.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is a really good giveaway.
Yeah, go do
cell
that.
Cell phone battery.
Claire, if you're there, that's your move.
I know. And I mean, if, you know, talking about listening to broadcasts, that's a thing. The Dodgers used to have the first three innings simulcast of Scully's broadcast on the radio, and so if you were at Dodger Stadium the first three innings, really you just had hundreds of thousands of radios, not hundreds of thousands, it only holds 50,000 people, but you would hear Scully's broadcast because so many people would have radios and they played them loudly because everybody wanted to hear it.
That's
I don't know
cool.
What to say, cause
maybe there were hundreds of thousands. Just everyone had four radios each. Just
I bet that's
that
what happened.
Yeah,
that's definitely it.
That's a good giveaway. Okay, let us move on because we were talking about Byron Buxton's 5-star Statcast rated catch. That's pretty exciting. I'm excited about it. Gemma's excited about it. Claire's excited about it. But perhaps you want to know really what that 5-star catch means. Well, I have a podcast that you need to subscribe to. It is the Statcast podcast, a show dedicated to the analytics that drive front office decisions in the modern game. It's hosted by Mike Petriello and Matt Myers, who are Statcast wizards. And you can download that show on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast by searching for StatCast Podcast or by going to statcastpodcast.com. If you want to have two guys who are smart, who are personable, who are friendly, explain to you some of the things that are maybe a little bit tough to understand about StatCast. I'm dumb. I don't understand any of them. But I have my good friends Matt Myers and Mike Petriello to help me understand these concepts that are super cool and are changing the way that anyone understands baseball, be they a fan or a front office executive. So that's StatCast Podcast, or you can go to statcastpodcast.com. But the other thing that I want to talk about is a gentleman by the name of David Ross, who we all know as Grandpa Rossi, who is dancing his little heart out on Dancing with the Stars on the American Broadcasting Corporation. This week, his dance performance was themed to Magic Mike.
Yes, it was.
That was the thing that happened.
Yep.
Do we have feelings? Before we get to our feelings, I will give you the feelings of a friend of the podcast, Anthony Rizzo, who tweeted, speechless and a bit horrified. I think that's maybe not fair to Grandpa Rossi, but I think a lot of people were left speechless by this performance. Claire, what do you think? Did you watch it? Did you enjoy it?
So I've seen it, and I think now we officially have the second holder of the Foxy Grandpa nickname. That was a nickname given to a player in the 19th century. I think his name was like James Bannon. But I think we now officially, as he stripped off his jacket and served a lot of good looks, a lot of sweltering hot looks, we now have the second Foxy Grandpa in baseball history. Can football claim that? Can soccer? Can hockey? They can't. We have two sexy grandpas in one sport.
There's too many. Two is too many. Did you see his shirt where he ripped it off?
Yeah,
and it was like fake abs.
It was like George Michael in the Adams.
Those
suit.
Were real. Those are real. It's the lighting that just made it look weird.
No, yeah. No, Claire.
I don't want to ruin this fantasy for you, Claire. So yeah, David Ross totally cut. Anyway.
You don't want a catcher that's cut, honestly. You want a guy that's got some meat and gristle.
Gemma, what was your thought?
Do you want to eat him? This is weird. Anyway.
Gemma, what were your thoughts on Grandpa Rossi?
I thought, here's how I feel about David Ross and Dancing with the Stars, which is that no one else seems to be having as much fun as he is. Like, he is actually a pretty good dancer, which I guess is not a surprise because athletes tend to be pretty good dancers, but he's so committed.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. When you watch the other people on that show, like, they just always have the same expression on their face. And it might be because that's what you do in their sport, or it might be because they're so anxious about screwing up that they are actually just thinking about their footwork the entire time. But, like, I don't really see him mess up very much. Whatever he's doing, he's like lip syncing, he's into it, he's like doing the full face. Like, they did it to 50 Cent's Candy Shop. And that song is not subtle. It is not a subtle piece of music.
I hate that song so much.
I used to hear it constantly.
I hate it so much.
Constantly. But he like
went with the curveball artist Candy Cumming? Sorry,
yep,
I didn't interrupt. That's what it's
Claire, that's totally what it's about.
Alright.
But so when he's like singing along to it, he just like really makes the face. He's like, yeah, hey girl. And then at the end of it, he cracks up.
First of all, I just want to point out that Gemma made a face on a podcast as though that was going to
Well, but then I said, hey girl, and everyone knows what I mean. When I say
the
hey girl
face. Can we bring
that
back one more time?
You know what's up.
What is he like, Gemma?
Hey girl.
That's good. So if you're listening, you can cut that out and make that your text notification sound on your phone.
I mean, I think it would really make you feel great about yourself.
Yeah, we're gonna follow up. We're gonna stick with Grandpa Rossi.
I think he's doing
a
great job.
We're gonna do
a
weekly check in. I think he's doing a great job too. He's doing better than me. I would not do that.
Truly
well.
So emotionally invested. Like,
and his partner seems to like enjoy dancing with him. A lot of times they like don't want to touch the person that dances, but she seems to have a good time dancing with him.
Is that a personal experience for you, Dakota? Are you reliving middle school dance memories?
Aww.
No. God,
Dakota
no.
was cut
Never.
From Dancing with the Stars before it even aired. He was on, but
I'm flattered that you guys think of
just
me
immediately cut.
As a star. I think it probably has to do with my performance.
No, you were one of the dance partners.
I was definitely not one of the dance partners.
You were
okay,
let us leave.
Gardner. I don't want to talk about me, dancer. Let us move on to the next topic, which is Claire. Earlier in spring training, you wrote about which teams would be the best teams to cheer for on the side. You have your favorite team, but you also want a second favorite team. Maybe your favorite team isn't going to be contributing this year to the postseason picture. Maybe your team is probably going to win the World Series, but you want to find a team that's a little bit younger, a little bit scrappier. Since you're the king of this, since you're the czar of the second team, who do you think is the ultimate pick for the best second team?
I think Claire has 29 second teams.
I know he does. But try to keep it to just one.
All right, just one. So I'll just say new Cut 4 writer Eric Chesterton has picked the San Diego Padres, which I think that is a deep cut, but... My choice this year is the Rockies, and a close second was the Brewers, so this opening series has been, like, absolutely perfect for me. But when you think about the Rockies, there's so much exciting talent, and they're wearing this brand new purple shade. It's really the biggest change they've made to their uniform since they joined the league, you know. So every other team since then has actually gone through a dramatic shift, and the only thing they've really done is change their purple shade, and this one is as beautiful as those, you know, purple mountains majesty. They've got John Gray, long hair. He looked great opening day. He also hunts ghosts. You've got Nolan Arenado, who makes fielding routine ground balls something that, like, you want to watch just because, as we said earlier, silky like a shampoo commercial. David Dahl's a lot of fun. Trevor Story's a lot of fun. When he comes back, you're going to see a first baseman who was a shortstop 2 years ago, an outfielder last year. Tom Murphy, who, when he comes back, a lot of injuries right now, so it's going to be a little different for the first couple weeks. Tom Murphy has shown amazing power in the minors as a catcher, and he also has the brightest blue eyes I think I've seen a baseball player have this side of Chris Bryant. Last night, Tyler Anderson pitched. He has basically like a three, like, he pauses and then, like, kicks his leg, like, three times in his motion. It's really weird to watch, but it's a lot of fun. Charlie Blackman is both fun on Twitter, but also in games. He's got the beard, he's got the defense, he's got the speed. Thanks to Coors, he legitimately could win a batting title while hitting 30 home runs and stealing 30 bases. Carlos Gonzalez. Did I say David Dahl? I don't even know. And if Ryan
you did.
Thomas,
wait,
you
wait. Did. I need to interrupt because I need to explain to everyone listening that this is now a Rockies podcast. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's just become Rockies 4.
This team,
that's what it is, Claire 4
the
Rockies.
The Rockies have everything that Claire wants in a team. Ugh. They have a guy with blue eyes. They have a guy with a really weird throwing motion. And they have a guy who hunts ghosts, which is Claire's dream.
John Gray's hair, I think, does deserve to be discussed because very frequently we see these dudes and they have long hair and it's like fine or whatever. I mean, it's long, sure. They've managed to accomplish that quality of interesting hair, but is it well taken care of? Answer, no. It almost never is. It's like, dudes, I know you have long hair. It's time to invest in some conditioner. You have to do it. John Gray obviously conditions.
Yeah, it looks good.
On opening day.
A lot of shampoo talk today.
Yes, well, conditioner and shampoo are different, which is the point I'm trying to make here.
Wait,
because,
really?
Claire. Oh, okay. Shampoo is for washing your hair, and conditioner is for softening it and making it shiny and nourishing.
Which is the one that you're not supposed to do every day? Is that shampoo?
It depends on your type of hair.
Okay.
It depends how thick your hair is. It depends, like, how, you know, whatever.
Don't whatever. This is an important component. People listen to the Cup Forecast because they need these tips.
It depends on
calling out baseball players. What if they just don't know and they're listening right now?
All
right,
baseball players. Okay, baseball players. Here is my rule for you. One, you don't need to wash your hair every day if it is long. If it's short, if it's really short, you probably should.
Like a baseball player, you work out every day all the time.
Then you probably should wash it every day.
Okay.
Wait, I'm confused. If you have long hair, you don't. But if you have short hair, you do. That doesn't make sense to me. You have less hair.
Yes, but it's how the oil is distributed through your hair. Your hair needs some oil because it stays healthy like that. Like, I don't wash my hair every day. I also don't work out every day.
Gemma's hair, it's also, because you're listening, you don't know this. Gemma's hair is about 25 feet long.
Okay, it's like 3.5 feet long.
So
it is legitimately 3.5 feet
long. She has,
in
fact, let it down outside the window of Chelsea Market.
Yes.
And people have climbed up it. So just...
Anyway, what I'm saying is there's some players, if you have coarser or thicker hair, you need to condition more, which John Gray obviously does, which we all saw when he was throwing on opening day and his cap fell off and his hair just like flew into the wind and it was this like beautiful moment.
It was Claire's
dream. His hair is nice. some people with long hair, we'll not say any names, but maybe they play for the Mets, need to get some conditioning.
Whoa.
Right? That's
shots
what they need to do.
Fired.
You don't know which one of them.
Shots
you don't
fired.
Know,
so many choices.
Sound effect.
You don't know who I'm talking about.
I have
in that
a
rotation.
Sense of who you're talking
it
about.
It could be multiple people.
Could be all of them. Could
I am specifically
of
thinking of one of them, but I will not say which.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, the Rockies are great. I do agree with Claire's assessment on that.
And we haven't even talked about Raimel Tapia's
no,
two-strike approach. When
no.
he goes into, like, a super
no, no,
low
no.
crouch.
You're done.
Look
no
it up
more
online.
Rockies
it's
talk.
Great.
No more Rockies talk. Gemma, who is your second favorite team?
Well, I kind of like, so Claire does this thing where he does a random number generator just to pick another team to watch every day, which I think is great. And I was like, oh, maybe I should do something like that. And I find myself when I get home, I'm like, which game am I going to put on? And I like scroll around and I've just been, you know, it's only been a couple days, but obviously I'm like, oh, the Rangers? I'm going to watch the Rangers.
Yeah.
I'm just so into watching the Rangers this season. And it's because Yu Darvish is back and healthy, which is important. And I love,
of course.
I love him. He's great. He is my second favorite active baseball player
after Ichiro.
Yes.
Okay.
Duh. Obviously.
Okay.
And Ichiro will be my favorite active baseball player forever.
Gemma is so excited.
Forever.
She just broke everything in the studio.
I do. Well, Ichiro said he was going to play till he was 50, which is great for me because then I'll always feel young because a player that I loved when I was a kid will still be playing baseball, and that rules. So yeah, I'm definitely paying attention to the Rangers. Maybe not as in depth as Claire cares about the Rockies, but like. Tons of offense. Rougned Odor is there. He is being, two home runs in their first game. Lots of great smiles. Just really, really, it's fun. It's been fun to watch them.
Lots of great smiles.
It's important.
That's the subtitle of the Cuff Forecast every week. Lots of Cuff Forecast, colon.
Well, it's also
lots
nice to
smiles.
See Carlos Gomez hit that home run and be like, oh, you know, because I just be like, yes, I'm back. I'm not going to break bats because I won't be sad anymore. I'm just going to be hitting home runs and, like, grinning from ear to ear, and it's going to be delightful. And
but
it was.
Yes.
It was delightful.
The Rangers are a delightful team.
Yes. Who's your second team?
So I thought about potentially seeing the Phillies because mm-hmm. I like Ooh. Everybody on that team. I like Michael. Last year I forbade Claire specifically from calling them one of his second favorite teams, but I think this year they're allowed. I
just
like Aaron
you
Nola.
Like them now?
I like Vin- yes.
I see how this goes.
Yes, that's exactly why. What's the point of being in charge if you can't just use your power to influence other people to make decisions to fit your own personal agenda? I like Vince Velasquez. I like Aaron Nola. Did you know that Clay Buchholz is on the Philadelphia Phillies? What? That happened over the offseason. So there's a lot to like. Also, Citizens Bank Park is, I think, a really good night park. For night games, I think it's a really good home run park. Like, I think home runs look really good in Citizens Bank Park. So I like the Phillies. Unfortunately, they're not my second favorite team. Sorry, everybody.
Whoa.
I just wasted your time.
Claire can't talk about the Rockies for 45 minutes, but you get to just go on and on about the Phillies.
That's correct. Even though they're not my second, they're like third favorite. Second favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Whoa.
Because they should be everybody's second favorite team all the time. Because they usually play late at night. So you can finish watching your actual favorite team, and then you're like, well, what the heck am I going to do now? My
Look
baseball
at
game ended.
This East Coast bias
and then,
over here.
I'm a coastal elite. But, like, you're done, and then you're like, well, what am I going to do for the rest of the day? Well, guess what you're going to do for the rest of the day? You're going to watch the Dodgers, and then you're going to go to sleep. And everybody on the team is great. Corey Seager. I wrote Corey in my notes, I wrote Corey Seager, heart eyes emoji. He is a heart eyes emoji.
Did you type out heart eyes
emoji? I did.
Emoji?
I didn't include the actual emoji. I wrote it all out. Adrian Gonzalez. Who doesn't love Adrian Gonzalez? Oh, and they have some guy named Yasiel Puig. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's pretty good.
Return of the Puig.
So Vince Scully is gone, but Dodger Stadium is forever.
It's true.
That's
it's very profound.
Thank you.
You get a tattoo, a full back tattoo of
that. That says that. Yeah. It's written in Helvetica.
Oh,
that's
no,
what
I was
I
thinking
want.
Over like a full thing of Dodger Stadium
oh,
as well.
I just want the yeah. text. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I want
okay,
word
Helvetica.
Tattoos. People love that.
Helvetica. Yeah.
Especially Helvetica.
Did you guys
the
see,
best tattoo font.
Did you guys see how Vin Scully spent his opening day getting his car washed? And people were like, what are you doing here?
He had to buy some anti-moth spray.
Dude has watched... Enough baseball. I will allow it for him. Like, you know what? Fine. He has called
it.
So many games.
I really do get it. I liked that they asked if he was happy, and he went to the car wash. He's like, I am. I have a clean car.
Aw. Then.
He's happy.
Aw.
It's pretty good. No moths.
Simple things. No moths. Life.
Clean car.
No one.
Paid the bills.
He's like Barack Obama the day after he left office, where he was like going to Hawaii and like going windsurfing and stuff like that. That's Vince Scully. He had a good job, but he's happier not doing it.
I hope he goes windsurfing.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he has fun. And he gets those ribs from Costco that he likes.
Yeah, Vin, we love you. Sending love to Vin Scully. All right, it is now time to summarize the podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast down into one bite-sized chunk. Claire, because I gave you a demotion and because you have gone off the deep end for the Rockies, I am making you go first. Give us a tweet.
All in caps, period, at Dakota Gardner is censoring Raimel Tapia's two-strike approach. You need to see this. Click here. The truth is out there. Photo gif of Raimel Tapia's normal approach and then his weird crouch, like super crouch he does with two strikes.
Okay, that was bad.
That was amazing.
That was bad.
Clickbait. That's internet fake conspiracy
news. That was definitely fake news. Gemma, what is your 140 character tweet?
Mine is going to be Gemma's hashtag opening day advice. Dear pitchers with long hair, buy conditioner. And then it would be hashtag whatever Claire said before, hashtag voluminous. Whatever you said.
Voluminous.
Something that's not the word voluminous, but close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like voluminous because it's like voluminous and ominous. So, like, great hair. But it's also scary.
Okay. I can't deal with you anymore. Here is my tweet. The emoji of a baseball is back! Exclamation mark. The eyes emoji. And then the heart eyes emoji for Corey Seager.
Uh-huh.
A little translation. And then
and then your phone battery dies and you don't get to tweet anything.
And then hashtag Vin Scully is gone, but Dodger Stadium is forever. Although that makes it sound like he died. He didn't die. He's still around.
Unfollow, block, right. Reported for abuse.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
That was an aggressively bad tweet.
I'm going to assume that none of the emojis were actually emojis, but just you typing eyes emoji. Hard eye.
Yeah, I don't know
emoji.
How to use emojis. Yeah. I thought you just say the word and then say emoji afterwards.
I knock your phone into the sea from your hand, and that's how that ended.
If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast into one bite-sized chunk, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones and mock the truly terrible ones. You can go to facebook.com/Cut4 if you like that page. Our content will appear in your news feed. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 and read all of the content that Gemma, that Claire, that our whole staff of writers put together for you to enjoy on a day-to-day basis. And now that the baseball season is back, there is just an overwhelming abundance of things for you to see, but we will curate it for you and make sure you see only the best and most fun things on MLB.com/Cut4. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. If you tweeted us, hey, maybe we'll tweet back. We can be Twitter friends. Don't you want to be Twitter friends with us? I want to be Twitter friends with us, and I'm.
You can be my Twitter friend. As everyone who listens to this podcast know, I might even hang out with you in real life.
Yeah, Gemma just randomly hangs out with people on Twitter. It's terrible. You can also ask us any questions that you have, any moral quandaries, any complaints about any of us. You can email those to cutforecast@mlb.com. And this is a podcast, which if you have enjoyed listening to, we would encourage you to go to the iTunes page, click subscribe if you haven't already. I don't know how you found us if you weren't subscribed already. Maybe you just were strangely searching for Ghost Baseball and we appeared in your feed. But hit subscribe. While you're there, you can write a review. You can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. Please do that. It actually helps other people find the show, and I would like for other people to find the show. Not that I don't like you personally, I do, but I would like if we had more people, because then it'd feel like a party and I want to be invited to more parties. But you can also leave us the rating and the review. Gemma, thank you for being here as always.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Claire, thank you for joining us all the way via the crazy satellite uplink from Los Angeles.
Thank you, and you can't silence the truth.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.